إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد يقول الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى ومن السنة اللازمة التي من ترك منها خصلة لم يقبلها ويؤمن بها لم يكن من أهلها. Imam Ahmad, he said, of the compulsory aspects of the Sunnah, those aspects, if you leave any part of it and don't believe in it, you will not be of the people of the Sunnah. Al-Iman bil Qadr khayrihi wa sharri. To believe in Allah's decree, the good and the bad of it. Wa tasdiqu bil ahadith fihi. And to believe in all of the ahadith concerning it. Wal imanu biha. And to believe in them. La yuqal lima وكيف. It should not be said why or how. إنما هو التصديق والإيمان. إنما هو التصديق والإيمان بها. Rather it is affirming and believing in all of it. ومن لم يعرف تفسير الحديث ويبلغ عقله فقد كفي ذلك. And whoever does not know the explanation of the hadith, or his mind has not reached that level, he has been sufficed concerning that. وَأُحْكِمَ لَهُ. And it has already been made correct for him. فَعَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَالتَّسْلِيمُ لَهُ. So it is binding on him to believe in it and submit to those things. This area, Al-Qadr, decree, some of the Salaf used to say, Al-Qadr, Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, Sirullah. That it is Allah's secret. And that the believers are supposed to submit to whatever Allah says in the Quran or whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us in the Sunnah. And you shouldn't ask how or why. It's submission. Shaykh An-Najmi, when he deals with this, he said you should know that Qadr is what Allah ma qaddarahu Allah lil ibad wa alayhim. من خير وشر. It is what Allah has decreed for His slaves, whether it's good or evil, good or bad, whether it's iman or kufr, iman or disbelief, whether it's sa'ad or shaqawa, whether it's happiness or wretchedness, ghaniyun or faqr, whether it's that you be rich or poor, marad or siha, whether you're sick or healthy. وَمَا إِلَى ذَلَكْ مِنَ الْأُمُورَ الَّتِي قَدَّرَهَا اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. Or other affairs similar to that Allah has decreed for His slaves. We're supposed to believe in all of that. وَقَدْ دَلَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ الْحَدِيثَ الصَّحِيحِ. And the authentic narrations point this out. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, أول ما خلق الله القلم. The first thing that Allah created was the pen. فَقَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ. And He said to it, write. This particular narration, it says, فَجُرَى فِي تِلْكَ السَّعَمْ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And so the pen wrote during that moment everything that will occur until يوم القيامة. وَجَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ أَيْضًا. And there is another hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. قَالَ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah created the decrees of everything. Before He created the heavens and the earth, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. And His throne was upon the water. Look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decrees of everything, 50,000 years. And we're talking about everything that ever comes into existence. The time when it will occur, where it is going to occur, the moment of its occurrence, and every happening of that thing. Just consider Allah's creation. For a moment, consider all of the leaves on the trees. Consider in the jungle. In the darkest part of a forest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed and wrote down, had written down when each leaf is going to fall, where it is going to hit, and the time is going to strike the ground. Consider the grains of sand on the seashore. That every moment someone walks on it. It has been decreed the second that particular footstep is going to hit there, what amount of sand is going to disperse, and the intensity of the step, everything was written down way before that time. Every heartbeat. When it will occur, the intensity of it, and how many there are going to be for each creation. كَتَبَ مَقَادِيرَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Everything was written down. We can't begin to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, we say Allahu Akbar. Really, the human being, his mind cannot ever comprehend totally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could you? Consider the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein, when the people of Yemen and the people of Banu Tamim came. And the people of Banu Tamim, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we came to ask you about this affair. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كان الله ولم يكن شيء غيره. Allah was and there was nothing other than Allah. Zero. Nothing. Zero other than Allah. And then Allah created things. One word, kun, fakan. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we worship. The majesty of which we truly don't understand. Really, Allah. No wonder the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, La uhsi thana'an alayhi, anta kama athnayta ala nafsi. I cannot praise you the way you deserve to be praised. You are as you praise yourself. He goes on and he mentions that the companions, رضي الله عنهم, they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, do you see these deeds that we're doing? Is it something that has not been written before, something that is just newly occurring? Or is something that has been finished and already decreed? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Nay, it is something that has already been finished and decreed. So the companion says, should we not give up righteous deeds? أَفَلَا نَتْرُكُ الْعَمَلِ. Should we not give up the righteous deeds? وَنَتَّكِلُ عَلَىٰ كُتُبِنَا. And depend on our books. And the Prophet ﷺ commanded them, اعملوا. Work. do righteous deeds. Because everyone, he shall make, it shall be made easy for him for that which he was created. Now this particular narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches you not to depend on what you don't know about what has been decreed for you. Whether he told the companions, radiallahu anhum, that you go and you work, you become active in obedience to Allah, obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Work. And it will be made easy for those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for. فَيَجِبُ الْإِيمَانُ بِالْقَدْرِ وَالتَّسْلِيمُ لَهُ. And so it is compulsory to believe in decree and submit to it. فَمَنْ تَرِكَ الْإِيمَانَ بِالْقَدْرِ فَلَا حَظَّ لَهُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. And whoever gives up belief in decree, he has no share in Islam. Whatsoever. And he mentions the hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar. When some of the Tabi'een and others came to him, and the first person to speak about decree in a negative way, Ma'bad al-Juhani, he said, Yahya ibn Ya'mur, he said, we went, me and Humayd ibn Abdul Rahman al-Himyari, Hajayna mu'tamirain, we were either making Hajj or Umrah, we went. After this fitness started, and the people started to talk whether or not Allah creates what we do, or whether or not Allah knows what is in the future and decreed it. Once that fitness started, we went and sought knowledge from the people who were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Notice what they did. When there was confusion about an issue, they went to the people of ilm, to find out what should we do, what should we say, what is correct in this area. This methodology is the methodology of the Salaf. When there are issues that you don't understand, you go to the Ahlul Ilm on the Sunnah. And you find out, such and such is being said, Ya Shaykh, what is to be done? How is this issue to be understood? This is what they did. He said, and we said, لَوْ لَقِينَ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَسَأَلْنَاهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُ هَؤُلَاءِ فِي الْقَدْرِ. Would that we would meet one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him about what these people are saying about decree. He said, فَوُفِّقَ لَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. And we happened upon Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, داخل المسجد, entering the masjid. So we both went around him, one of us on one side and the other to his other side, one to his right and the other to his left. He said, فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّ صَاحِبِي سَيَكِلُ الْكَلَامَ إِلَيَّ. And I thought that my companion would allow me to speak. So I said to him, يَا أَبَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ. أَبَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ, there has appeared amongst his people who recite the Quran. وَيَتَقَفَّرُونَ الْعِلْمِ يعني يَطْلُبُونَ الْعِلْمِ وَيَتَّبِعُونَهُ. There are people amongst us who recite the Quran and they seek knowledge. And they are saying, after mentioning some of the other conditions, he says, and they claim that there is no decree. And that the affair is like this, that Allah only knows something once it occurs. These are the extreme of the Qadariyah. Those who have this particular belief are considered kuffar. There are some of those other than them who believe that the human beings, their actions are their own creation and it's not tahta mashiyatillah, it's not under Allah's mashiyah. That's another set of the Qadariyah. He came and he said, these people have this position. He said, Ibn Umar said, فَإِذَا لَقِيتُ أُولَٰئِكَ. If you meet those people, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ بُرَآءٌ مِّنِّي. Let them know that I have nothing to do with them and they have nothing to do with me. We're not on the same deen at all. We're not on the same deen. And then he says, وَالَّذِي يَحْلِفُ بِهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Umar. And I swear by him by whom Ibn Umar swears. لَوْ أَنَّ لِأَحَدِهِمْ مِثْلَ أُخُدٍ ذَهَبًا فَأَنْفَقَهُ مَا قَبِلَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ. He says, if one of them were to have, were to spend the like of Uhud, the Mount of Uhud with gold, it will not be accepted from them until they believe in decree. Until they believe in decree. So Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, as he's dealing with Rasulul Sunnah, one of the things that the people of the Sunnah, they believe is in the decree, Al-Qadr. This is a part of being upon the Sunnah. The Shaykh goes on and he says, we need to know that there were two groups who went astray concerning Allah's decree. Two groups. The first group were those who actually denied that Allah had any part to do in your affair. You're just free. Whatever you do, you're doing it whether Allah wills it or not. It's just happening. If you believe that, that something occurs in Allah's domain without Allah's will, then we are not understanding the sovereignty that Allah has over His creation. Nothing occurs without Allah's Mashiach. Without Allah willing or allowing it to occur. Doesn't happen. Without His will. The first group are those who deny that Allah creates the actions of the slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who creates in us ability. He is the one who creates in us ability. That ability, without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving it us, we would not be able to do anything. That is the first group. Those who say, now we are free, we do what we want to do, Allah's Mashiach is not over us, His will is not over us. The second group are those who affirm decree. They affirm it. But they are saying, إِنَّ الْعَبْدُ مَجْبُورٌ عَلَىٰ أَفْعَالِهِ. That the slave is actually forced to do whatever he does. In other words, you go and steal, man, I had no choice. It was decreed. You go and get high, man, I had no choice. You know, the joint just lit up. I had no choice. You are forced to do what you do. Those also went astray in understanding the decree. The Shaykh mentioned, he says, كِلَا الْأَمْرَيْنِ بِدْعَةٌ وَتَطَرُّفٌ. Both positions are innovations and extremes. Both positions. Innovations and extremes. وَالْحَقِّ الْوَسَطِ وَهُوَ اِعْتِقَادَ الْفِرْقَةِ النَّاجِيَةِ. And the middle path is the creed of the people on the Sunnah. The successful group. Those who say we believe, نؤمن بالقدر ونؤمن بأن للعبد كسبا واختيارا. We believe in decree. At the same time, we believe that a person earns what he does and he has a choice in what he does. He has a choice. And we will be recompensed according to the choices that we make. According to the choices that we make. A person, there was an affair where the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, they were going to Sham. And there was an epidemic in Sham. And so, before he did anything, he wanted to take some consultation with the brothers. So he called the Muhajireen and questioned them, what should we do? They differ. So he told them, Qumu anni, move away from me, get up from me. And then he called the Ansar, he consulted with them, and they differed just like the Muhajireen differed amongst themselves. And he said the same thing to them, leave me alone. And then he called some of the elderly that had come after the victory of Fath Mecca, and he consulted them. And they said, we do not consider it wise for you to take the rest of the companions and the people with you and go to that land where there is that disease. And Omar agreed with him. And he told the people, we are going back. Abu Ubaidah came and said, you are running from Allah's decree. And Umar radiallahu anhu used to actually dislike differing with Abu Ubaidah. And he said, if it was someone else other than you, Abu Ubaidah, who said this? He said, tell me, if a shepherd had his flock and he pastured it in a barren part of the land, would that be with Allah's decree? And if he chose a land that was fertile, with a lot of green, would that not also be with Allah's decree? In other words, you have a choice whether you harm yourself or not. And then he turned around and Abdul Rahman ibn Awfi came and he says, I have knowledge about this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that if you hear about it in the land and you happen to be there, do not come out running from Allah's decree. But you, if you hear about it and you're not there, do not go there. And Umar ibn al-Khattab glorified Allah and left. We then have a choice in the things that we do. We have the ability to work righteous needs, righteous deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a choice. And it is the choice that we will be rewarded for and recompensed because of. So the Shaykh mentions, he says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ لِلْعَبْدِ كَسْبًا وَاخْتِيَارًا لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى قَدْ أَثْبَتَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ وَقَالَ لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمَ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that you have the ability. You have a will, but your will and your mashiach is subservient to what Allah decrees and what He chooses. And the verse says, whoever wills to be upright. So we have a will, we have a choice to be upright. But you will not be able to will unless Allah, the Lord of all that exists, wills for you to do so. So Allah's Mashiach is above every other type of Mashiach. So هذا الاختيار لا يخرج عن قدر الله سبحانه وتعالى. This choice does not go outside of what Allah has decreed. What Allah has decreed. The Shaykh Al-Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى, he mentions that we should believe in all of those narrations that deals with decree. And then he mentions, for example, the hadith As-Sadiq wal-Masduq. This is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam narrated to us, حَدَّثَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam وَهُوَ الصَّادِقُ الْمَسْدُوقُ. He is the truthful and the believed. He said that your creation, the creation of the slave, is gathered in his mother's womb in a period of 40 days as a speck. And then it becomes a lump or something that is hanging like a similar period of time. And then it becomes flesh after another similar period of time. And then the angel is sent to him, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلِكِ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ. And then the angel is sent to him, and he places the soul in the body. Places the soul, he blows the soul into the body. This is when actually the person becomes what we call a human being. Prior to that time is just what we call vegetative life. Like the trees grow and that is that type of life. But once the soul comes in, then the other regulations that apply to human beings, living human beings, apply at this point in time. The angel comes and he places the soul or blows the soul in the body and he writes down the person's sustenance, rizqahu, his amal, amaluhu, and his ajal. He writes down his sustenance, his deeds, how long he's going to live, and whether he's going to be happy. Yani, a blessed person, or whether he's going to be a wretched person. Yani, someone who's going to be in a state of loss. This here, we believe in all of these things. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees from the time the child is in the womb, what the state of the child is going to be. From that time, we believe in all of those narrations. The Shaykh mentions that this decree has been written in Lawh al-Mahfuz. It has been written down in the protected tablets. The protected tablets, it has been written down in there. As it comes in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He created, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah created the pen and said to it, write. And during that time, whatever is going to happen until Yawm al-Qiyam was written down. That type of writing that is being referred to here is in Lawh al-Mahfuz, what we call the protected tablets. Then also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, these particular events haven't taken place. The Shaykh mentions, he says, this type of writing down, they give a name to it because there are different things that have been written down at different times. We saw this particular narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that everything that is going to happen until Yawm al-Qiyamah has been written down. That is one type of decree. They call that at-taqdir al-azali. That is the what they call eternal decree. That is one type of decree. Then we know there is a type of decree that happens for the person's whole lifetime. That is another type of thing that is written down. That is in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that once the child is in the womb, the angel writes down whether he's going to be happy or wretched. That decree, what they call a taqdir al-umri, the decree for a person's lifespan. Then we have the decree, what they call at-taqdir al-hawli, or the annual decree, which comes about during Laylatul Qadr, where what is going to happen during that year is also written down. And then we have the actual daily decree on the individual that describes right down about what the person is going to occur during the day in his daily activities. Those are different types of decree that the people, the scholars of Ahl Sunnah discuss. The brothers remember them?
I do not understand.
Okay, before we do the Iyadah, who remembered them? Sadhguru.
Taqdeer al-Azali.
Where does that come in?
Taqdeer al-Azali is coming in the Lato, the Qalam.
So right,
Aina. The taqdeer al-umri, this happens after the stage when the angel comes and writes down that he's shaqi.
Al Sa'id. Now.
Taqdeer al-hawli, the layla of qadr. The taqdeer al-mahari.
Al yawm. Now. What the angels do on a daily basis. Barakallahu feekum. So you get it. Barakallahu feekum. The Shaykh mentions, he says, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا. For the people on the Sunnah, the only thing they have is to believe in all of them. وَأَنْ لَا يُرُدَّ مِنْهَا حَرْفًا وَاحِدًا. And that we should not reject even one letter of what we find concerning the creed. Okay? وَغَيْرِهَا مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثَ الْمَأْثُورَاتِ عَنِ الثِّقَاتِ. And the other narrations that we find from the trustworthy narrators of hadith. We do not dispute with anyone or argue with them, and we do not learn argumentation. That's what they call polemics. We don't do that. He says, because this type of discussion and argumentation concerning the creed and seeing Allah or the Quran, whether it's created or not, all of that is actually disliked, despised, and forbidden. وَلَا يَكُونْ صَاحِبُهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَ بِكَلَامِهِ السُّنَّةِ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ حَتَّى يَدْعَ الْجِدَالِ وَيُسَلِّمْ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِالْآثَارِ. And the person will not be of the Sunnah, even if his statement is correct according to the Sunnah, until he gives up argumentation and submits to the text and believe in it. It's the only time he will be considered of the people of the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said it. What we do, we submit and we listen to it, we believe in it, and we accept it. Not like the Mu'tazila. Not like the Jahmiyyah, not like the Qadariyyah, not like any of them, not like the Asha'ira, none of them. Rather, we accept it as it is. And like the scholar said, أَمِرُوهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ بِلَا كَيْفِ. You accept it as it is without saying how. That's how the people on the Sunnah, their manhaj is. No discussion about, well, perhaps maybe it don't mean that, perhaps it has a deeper meaning and all that. That's for the Sufis. You see, because the Sufis believe that the Shaykh has some hidden knowledge that the Prophet ﷺ didn't teach the people. Now, look, I'm not telling you what I'm guessing. I'm telling you what I know. I used to live with them. Alhamdulillah, no more with them. But they believe, man, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he taught the companions was surface knowledge. And that's a criticism to the whole deen. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this dunya and there was knowledge that he didn't explain. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted him with conveying the message? Alhamdulillah, at least the Sahaba had some sense on the fellow pilgrimage when he asked them, hal balagh, did I not convey the message? And they says, oh Allah, yes he did. And he pointed his finger to the sky and says, Allahumma ashhad. Oh Allah, bear testimony. This message has been made clear and plain. Ain't no hidden meaning. And see what the trick is, if they could get you to believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left something for them to explain, they could twist the whole deen. And make you believe that there is a type of understanding that even the companions didn't have that you're supposed to submit to. Don't you know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that he has left us on al-bayda, a clear path. Layluha kinahariha. It's night and it's day are the same in its illumination. Anyone who goes outside of it, he is destroyed. So for us, there is submission. There are two things, actually, that we'd like to emphasize with the brothers in this area concerning the creed. in what they call arkanul qada wal qadr. And the first thing is Allah's all-encompassing knowledge. The first thing is Allah all-encompassing knowledge. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah mentions in the Quran that you will know that Allah is able to do all things and that Allah encompasses everything with His knowledge. That is the first thing that we understand when we deal with the creed, that Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. That's the first pillar. Secondly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written down in Lawh al-Mahfuz everything. We have this narration which was collected by Muslim in his Sahih from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول كتب الله مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة قال وعرشه على الماء. هذا رواه مسلم. According to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying, Allah wrote down the decrees of all created things. 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth, and His throne was upon the water. The second thing after knowledge is that this was written down. So we know that things have been written down, the decrees of all things. That's the second pillar of our understanding of decree. Thirdly, actually we have another narration from Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال اكتب قال ما اكتب قال اكتب القدر ما كان وما هو كائن إلى الأبد. This particular narration was collected by Tirmidhi and others, and Shaykh Nasir rahimahullah authenticated it. Ubad ibn al-Samit, he said, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that the first thing Allah created was the pen. And He said to it, write. And the pen said, what shall I write? Now you know this actually is an indication of Allah's power, that something that is inanimate, that doesn't have an intellect, when Allah tells it to speak, it opens it speaks. This is all total authority and total yani tasarruf. This is total complete control over everything that exists. That you say to something that is inanimate, anything, command it and it speaks back to you, that's Allah alone. Said to it, write, my Lord, what shall I write? Write everything that is going to happen until abad, until eternity. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ. Don't you know that Allah knows whatever is in the heavens and the earth? This has been written down. The second thing then is to know that things have been written down. Thirdly, believing in Allah as His Mashiach Ash-Shamila, His total and all-encompassing will. His total and all-encompassing will. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. So much so that we will not be able to will unless Allah allows it, unless Allah wills for us to do so. So Allah's Mashiach encompasses everything. That's something we also recognize, so that we know that we cannot do anything except that Allah wills it to happen. That's the third pillar that the Ahlul Ilm discuss when they deal with this area of Al-Qada wal-Qadr. The fourth pillar is the belief أن الله خالق كل شيء, that Allah creates everything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay, Allah creates everything. Everything other than Allah is created. That's our deeds and everything else. The Qadariya, they say what? That the creation, we create our own deeds. Allah has nothing to do with it. Ahlul Sunnah say no. We have a choice, we choose, but only because Allah wills for it to happen. That's the way we believe in this area. After that, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he goes on and he deals with an area. Inshallah, this area we want to read the statements of Shaykh Rabi' hafidhahullah concerning this part of the discussion and his yani, explanation of Usul al-Sunnah. And he deals with it in a way that is extremely yani, good, and it clarifies some of the issues for the people on the Sunnah and the people who want to learn generally. So inshallah, we're going to read, after we deal with this introduction, inshallah, we're going to read the statement, all of it, of the statements of Shaykh Rabi' hafidhahullah ta'ala, concerning his explanation of this book, Usul al-Sunnah. And this area has to do with what Imam Ahmad says, Al-Qur'an kalamullah wa laysa bimakhluq. That the Qur'an is Allah's speech and it is not created. He says, وَلَا تَضْعُفْ أَن تَقُولَ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ. And do not be weak in saying it is not created. فَإِنَّ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ صِفَةٌ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ وَلَيْسَ بِبَائِنٍ مِنْهُ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ مَخْلُوقٍ. Because Allah's speech is a quality. Of the many qualities of Allah, it is not separate from Allah. And nothing of Allah is created. Inshallah, as we go on and we read and slowly go over it, these issues, inshallah, will be made clear. He says, وَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ مَخْلُوقٌ. Nothing of Allah's creation, of His qualities are created. He says, and woe to you, and arguing, with those who have introduced these things. وَمَنْ قَالَ بِاللَّفْظِ. And the person who says that my expression with the Qur'an is created. Or other than that. وَمَنْ وَقَفَ فِيهِ. And the person who says, I don't know. I'm not going to say created or not created. And he says, فَقَالَ لَأَدْرِ مَخْلُوقٌ أَوْ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ. And he says, I don't know if it's created or it's not created. وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. All I can say is Allah's speech. Imam Ahmad says, فَهَذَا صَاحِبُ بِدْعَةٍ. هَذَا صَاحِبُ بِدْعَةٍ مِثْلُ مَنْ قَالَ هُوَ مَخْلُوقٍ. He is a companion of innovation just like the one who says it's created. And he really, what Imam Ahmad is saying, look, if you are on the Sunnah, you have to be clear. And if there is a statement that brings doubt, or may be interpreted in two ways, stay away from the doubtful area and make the Sunnah clear to the people. It is not created. He says, what Imam Ahmad points out, what should be done, he says, إِنَّمَّا هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ. Be clear, it is Allah's speech, it is not created. Not created. After this, normally, when the Ahlul Ilm discuss this, they have a type of definition for the speech, Allah's speech. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of those things that Imam Ahmad spoke about, it is based on text. Because we know the manhaj of the Salaf is that it is based on textual evidence, the Qur'an, the Sunnah, and the understanding of the Sahaba and their students. And this is what Imam Ahmad was upon. In respect to his manhaj, in respect to his i'tiqad, it was based on athar. And that is what distinguishes the methodology of the people on the sunnah and the people of ibtida', the people of innovation. Here, before we begin, inshallah, perhaps in our next sitting we'll have to start off with the reading of the words of Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhahullah. And this is only an introduction to the discussion, barakallahu fikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out that the Qur'an is his speech. وَإِنْ حَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينِ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. And if one of the polytheists seeks your nenets, then allow him to have that nenets until he hears Allah's words. Allah calls the Quran his words. Jabir ibn Abdullah, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to present himself to the tribes in the places at Mecca. And he would say, Ala rajulun yahmiluni ila qawmihi. فَإِنَّ قُرَيْشًا قَدْ مَنَعُونِي أَنْ أُبَلِّغَ كَلَامَ رَبِّي. Will there be not an individual who will carry me to his people? For surely the Quraysh have prevented me from conveying the speech of my Lord. This is Allah's speech. That particular narration was authenticated by Shaykh Nasir rahimahullah ta'ala. It's to be found in Sunan Abi Dawud, Tirmidhi and others. This speech has been sent down, munazzal. And we know from the Quran, yani, there are a number of verses dealing with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the book, yani, tanzilum min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This particular book has been sent down for the merciful and the compassionate. So we know the book has been revealed, has been sent down. It is not created. Is there any evidence which says that the book of Allah is not created? The brothers remember? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a distinction in the Quran. He says, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. To Allah is the creation and the command. To Allah is the creation and the command. The creation is the byproduct of the command. If the command was the same as the creation, there would be no separation. It shows that Allah's speech produces creation and it is not itself a product of creation. It is not a product of creation. You have that, brothers? Barakallahu fikum. That creation is a result of the command. If they were one and the same thing, it would not have this relationship. And it shows that the command is not created, but that the creation is simply a byproduct of Allah saying to things, be and it becomes.
Don't worry about it.
You brothers understood that? Look, Allah makes a distinction between creation and His command which produces creation. This shows that they're not one and the same. One of the things the Ahlul Sunnah use also is yani, to show that it is not created, and it's very interesting how they use it. The verses that we find, for example, in Surah Al-Kahf, كُلَّوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Says here, if the oceans, if all of the oceans were ink, and you will use those to write Allah's word, we write Allah's words, that all of the ocean it would pass away before the words of my Lord, even if you would produce and bring another set of oceans. Now the point here is actually the example that is given, because it implies that Allah's words, it has no end. If it was created, there would be some end to it. Has no end. So it is not created. It is not created. Look, we have this narration by Muslim. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ فَقَالْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ. A person came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, O Messenger of Allah, مَا لَقِيتُ مِنْ عَقْرَبْ لَبَغَتْنِي الْبَارِحَةِ. What I met and occurred or experienced from the scorpion that stung me the other night. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, if you had only said in the evening hours, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق لم يضرك. If you had only said in the evening hours, I seek refuge in Allah's complete words, you said this in the evening, that would not have harmed you. Can you seek refuge in the creation? Here, the Prophet ﷺ says, if he had only sought refuge in Allah's complete words, it's an indication that Allah's words are not created. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to seek refuge in it like that. There are other things like this that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that he used to actually use Allah's words as a source of protection, and he used to seek refuge in Allah's complete words. Some of the evidences that the Ahlul Sunnah used to say that Allah's words are not created. Tayyib. The words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Ahlul Sunnah, they also mention about the Qur'an, that one day it will return to Allah. So they used to say, and we find in the books of Aqidah, they say the Quran is Allah's speech. It is not created. From Allah it came, and to Him it shall return. What does it mean that to Him it shall return? Hudhayf ibn al-Yaman, he said that Islam would die down just like the embroidery on a garment fades away, it will die down. حَتَّى مَا يُدْرَى مَا صِيَامٌ وَلَا صَلَاةٌ وَلَا نُسُكٌ وَلَا صَدَقَةٌ. Until a person will not know what fasting is, what salah is, what the pilgrimage and the rites of it are, or the other nusuk and other things like that, and sadaqah or charity, وَلَا يُسْرَ عَلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلْ فِي لَيْلَةٍ فَلَا يَبْقَى مِنْهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ آيَةٍ. And the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be taken up at night until not one ayah will be left on this dunya. Till not one ayah will be left on this dunya. This particular narration was also authenticated by Shaykh Nasir rahimahullah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned in his fatawa, this is volume 3, 174-175, you can find this discussion in the fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He says that it shall return to Allah what is intended in the end of time, that it will be taken up out of the masahif. You will get up one morning, you will have nothing in these books. It will be taken out of the hearts of the people. He says, so much so that there will not remain in the hearts of anyone, not word, one word, and in the masahif, not even one letter. Shaykh al-Faymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that this, in his explanation of al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, he points out that this will only occur when the people, the Muslims, are negligent concerning Allah's book. When they no longer return to it and refer their affairs to it, they no longer put it into practice, recite or do anything, then once you reach that stage, it will be taken up. Wallahu a'lam. But this is the explanation of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and it deals with this area of a large speech. Tomorrow, inshallah, if Allah wills, we will read the statement of Shaykh Rabi' hafidhahullah ta'ala, but for now, inshallah, we'll stop and let the brother translate. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.